Welcome to the latest edition of the G&T cast. Cheers, Terry.
Cheers, buddy.
That's
just amazing first thing in the morning.
Nice, the sun's over the yard. We were just chuckling to ourselves, saying another town, another fireplace. So here we are in a lovely setting, this time in Leeds. So,
it seems to be a thing for us. Everywhere we go, we have a beautiful fireplace.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we're going to start to develop that idea, I think. So if you guys watching this have got any ideas about venues with fireplaces that we can sit in front of, then start sending them in. Just put some comments in the box below, and it'll be interesting to see what comes back.
And possibly a change of name from the Gin Cast or G&T Cast to the Fire Cast.
The Fire Cast.
The
maybe.
Fire Cast.
I'd still
maybe.
Like the Gin. Yeah.
Okay, shall we go back into questions? Yeah. So we've got a really fabulous question here. I think it is now. I love this because it's a question that. And I think it's two parts of this question, and I'm just going to fire it off, and then if we do one bit and then go to the other, I think it'll work better that way. So the question is, how do I actually make money from buying businesses? Mm-hmm. Right? Because people have this concept in their head, don't they, that you buy a business and you chuck all your money into it. So how do you actually make it? And I think we should start off, obviously, with you sharing how you make money. But if we focus on how you get paid three times, I think that'd be really valuable for the viewers.
Yeah, I think actually before we do that, it's worth taking it back a step and think about your experience, my experience of being an entrepreneur, starting a company, and actually the culture around businesses as well, it's fair to say. So what I mean by that is, if you think about most of the promotional material about being an entrepreneur, it's all about doing a startup. So there's loads and loads of advice on startup, the startup loans, there's government departments that give you support and advice. Accountancy firms, banks, they're all at it. So everywhere you look, if you're thinking about, do I get into business as an alternative to being an employee, for example?
Yeah.
Or, you know, you're coming up to, perhaps you've been in the services for 12 years or something, it's like, what do I do next? The other alternative is buying a franchise, of course, but so you're buying into a business model.
A business model that's already proven to work.
Yeah.
In most cases,
in
anyway.
Theory.
Yeah,
in
most
theory.
Cases.
But my point is that most of the time, most of the promotional material that you'll come across will be about broadly startup.
Yeah.
Yet the stats around startups are scary, in truth. 50% fail, so one in two. So if you're sat in a room full of, you know, 10 entrepreneurs all thinking about doing a startup, five of them are going to fail. They're going to crash and burn. And for our experience in doing that, I've built three separate seven-figure businesses from scratch, and it's flipping hard work.
Really hard
it's
work.
It's the fundamental reason why I got into doing this in the first place.
And you're always running. I think this is a key to what we're going to talk about here, but you're always running out of cash.
Well, you're always running out of cash, and also this idea about making money is always postponed.
Yeah, it's always from the owner of the business.
You end up pushing yourself to the back of the queue because you've got that, you know, pay staff, suppliers, every other person than yourself.
Dare I say it, HMRC?
Yeah,
no, don't swear.
No. but it's true. So anyone watching this that is an entrepreneur, has an existing business, it doesn't matter what that business is, will know exactly what I'm talking about. I know you will. So the point about this is it's not the same as running a business, growing a business organically. It's a very different circumstance, category, really. So it's important to stress, and we'll come on to the detail, but it is important to stress that this is about a way of generating revenue for yourself as an entrepreneur that's quite different to an organic startup business, effectively. Whether that's even sort of 3, 4, 5 years in, this is quite different.
Yeah, I think also it's worth us touching on the time and energy that you, as an entrepreneur starting up, you have to put into a new business.
Yeah.
And very often you see, I don't know the statistics for this, but a lot of people's relationships break down because they're spending 14 and 16 hours a day in the office. Because if things aren't going well, what people do is they throw more time at it, or they throw money at it, then more time.
Yeah.
And when the money runs out, they think that solving their issues is just about spending more time at work. And then their family and their children just suffer. It's not.
I've lost track of the number of 70-hour weeks that I've worked.
Plus.
You know,
when we first started working together, you were doing 80 hours a week then.
Probably. probably, but but you get locked into it.
You do.
You know, it's your baby, it's your thing, and you always kind of put yourself at the back of the queue. Your personal time, your health, your fitness. You know, we're working much harder now on getting fitter and healthier.
Yeah.
But all of that goes by the by, and your emotions get really focused into the business. It's like a living entity that consumes you.
And I think it's very true to say that where your focus goes, your energy flows, and if you're not making sufficient money as a startup or growing in the first up to 5 years of your business, you know, your focus goes into that and everything else you kind of forget. That's been my experience like 20 years ago and, you know, building up and
in all the number of conversations I've said to my own wife, you know, it's like, it'll be okay, you know, when we get there.
Now, hey, how many of us have said that? No, it'll be okay, trust me, where's the money for shopping this week, love?
In extreme circumstances.
Well,
I can't afford to go away on holiday because we've just got this project to do, or we just landed this big contract, or we're about to land a big contract, and I've got to be there for the pitch, et cetera, you know.
Totally.
Twice I've come home from going to London to do a pitch and realised it was my wife's birthday and not got a present, or, you know, it's like that horrendous feeling that falls over you, and that's because you get consumed in that business.
It is, and you know, when I first started, I don't know how many people watching this will know, but I was a firefighter, and most firefighters have got jobs on the days off and stuff like that, and I had this idea and concept of not window cleaning or doing what most people do, you know, bricklaying on the days off, but building a business. And I had a business mentor come and visit me, and he said, the problem you've got, Terry, is you need 20 years business experience, but you need it today.
Yeah.
And I think that's relevant for what we're doing when it comes to buying experience. You need all that experience that you've got.
It's difficult because
it is.
Because the thing is that you can read the books. You know, there's tons of really good entrepreneurial books out there. Go on our website. There's probably a reading list somewhere that we can dig out for you. But you can read the books. You can talk to people. But unless you're in the trenches, experiencing the bullets coming over the top of the trench, you know, there's just no substitute for that, really.
Yeah, and experience is an expensive teacher.
It certainly is. Definitely. So I think back to the topic, the reason I wanted to talk about it in those terms is to frame it in a way that everyone watching this, I think, will understand and identify with and go, yeah, I am that entrepreneur. I have had that experience of, you know, working at building a business. And they vary enormously from not very successful to very successful. It doesn't really matter whether your business is doing 250,000 turnover, 100,000 turnover, or 10 million. I promise you, everyone that runs a business will have either been experiencing what we've described or are currently in it.
Totally.
It doesn't really matter. You know, size is immaterial. It's the experience is the thing. So the point about this is, the difference here is, if you think about owning and running a business in the traditional sense, you know, you've got your salary, your dividends, and your expenses, broadly speaking. That's where you're going to get your revenue from that company. So your focus is all about sales, margin, you know, future contracts, et cetera, to maintain that lifestyle, whatever that lifestyle is.
Yep.
What's different about this is that there are three stages in the process. So the purpose of the acquisition is everyone involved in the deal, in terms of the advisory team, the funders, et cetera, all of them will be charging fees into the deal.
Mm.
So what we say is that you also charge fees into the deal. We do it in our holding company. Our expertise and our knowledge and our skill is the thing that makes the deal happen.
Yeah.
So we're entitled, and we do charge a fee for completing the deal in the first place. It is contingent on success.
Just to be clear, and you can also do this, like we are doing, running a current business and also acquiring businesses. So anybody's thinking it's not one or the other. It's, you know, you can continue be making your money and do this as an additional wealth strategy, if you like.
Yeah. We'll come back to that. But so essentially, there is that point of understanding that you can and you should charge a fee for the time and effort you put into constructing the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Now that seems a bit strange, because most times when we think about it, when we do selling in a business, we don't charge a fee for the selling process. That's just part of the business. But this is different, because you're creating a deal, structuring a deal, bringing it together, making it successful.
A lot of work involved in that.
So there's a contingent fee in that. And that fee can vary according to how much complexity, the size of the deal, and the value of the business as well. But the second part is then a regular revenue stream from holding that company. And we call it a management charge, but it's the time that you commit to holding and managing that business for as long as you hold that company. Mm-hmm. So there's a revenue stream from that. But the real exciting bit is what happens when you sell a business, because the purpose for us, at least in terms of acquiring businesses, is to buy, hold, improve, and sell. That's the strategy. Now, everyone's going to be different. Some people will take a view. I know guys who like to acquire maybe 100% or some of the equity, do a quick sort of fix it and flip it and sell it. And that's fine. Mm. That's their strategy. They're not going to make as much money doing that, but it's a valid approach.
I think it's important to say that very often when you do that approach, you have to put a lot more time and effort into it. Is that fair?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking of a mutual friend of ours who did a deal over in the States recently, netted, I don't know, about $2 million, something like that. But it consumed quite a chunk of his time, a lot of travel backwards and forwards. Yeah, so if you worked out a return on time equation, probably not quite as lucrative
and for people
as holding it and selling it in the long run. But anyway.
I think it's important to mention this, buddy, because we're talking like $2 million. And I think there's a huge mindset shift here, because when we first started working together, I mean, it's common knowledge now, it is a kind of coach, which is time for money. Mm-hmm. But when you actually start looking, and this will be the second part of the question, when we actually start looking into how much you can actually make, it takes a bit of a mental shift for you to get used to. Yeah. You know, can we begin to talk about the levels of like the three payments? Give examples of what people have done, can we do that? Because I think that'll make it real for people.
Well, I think it's a good point that you make, because it can be a bit of a shocker for people who are, I would say, traditionally tied into that sort of, you know, start a business, grow a business. Mm. And each year you tend to think, well, I'll pay myself a bit more because we're making a bit more money. Yeah. But it's all linked to revenue.
I love Mike Mikhailovich's profit first, because most entrepreneurs don't do that. They pay everybody else first. They don't start with the end in mind in profit. They see what's left, and that's what they get at the end of the year, which is totally the wrong way to think about it.
But that is the reality. That's how most people operate. So. Totally, yeah. The difference here is we can think of some examples, our own businesses and others in our club that have acquired. In general, the default figure for the deal completion fee is
an average default figure.
An average is between 30 and 50K.
Yeah. So you get that chunk of money when you buy the business into your bank account.
And in most cases, that's for a period of work, in truth, of around about 3 to 5 months.
3 to 4 months,
something like that. From the point at which the offer starts to get real, you know, the vendors said yes in principle, and now we're really starting to get some traction and getting the deal completed. It's around about 3 to 5 months, give or take. I'm not talking about the earlier stages of looking for the deal and finding opportunities, but that sort of
Is that full time, Guy? Because it might be a question that people ask.
You can't do it full time. It's a part-time process, because there's always gaps, and you know, you just sat there kind of twiddling your thumbs while somebody else is doing a piece of work that could be lawyers, or it could be funders, or whatever. So it definitely isn't a full-time thing anyway. Yeah. So there's kind of, you know,
so that's
between 30 to 50K.
So that's the first bit where you get paid then?
For that sort of 3 to 5 months work.
And
then we always have a default annual management fee, which goes into the model, so the business will sustain that. And again, that varies quite significantly. The top end, I think we're looking at about 120 grand a year, down to as low as 40.
And generally, that's paid monthly. So if it's a higher end, 120 grand, that's 10 grand a month. So you chunk 30 to 50K in your bank, and then you get 10K a month going forward.
Yeah. So. And that's only for one deal.
When we first started working together, and again, we've talked about it, I was like, what, can you really do that? Yeah. And there will be people watching this now that is doing the same as what I was like, really, can you really, can you, no, but can you actually do that? Remember that conversation? Of course you can.
I wouldn't stand in front of you and tell you could do this if you couldn't, so
that's
for sure.
Beautiful. So
we're going to talk about the subject in more detail in a different G&T cast, so look out for that in terms of what does that really mean. But back to the subject for today is how do I make money? So there is the fee for completion, the management fee, But I think where it gets really exciting is when you then start to think about, well, what's the exit? So back to my theme, some people will buy and flip, in effect, so in a relatively short space of time. Others follow the strategy that we do, which is kind of acquire it, hold it for 4 to 5 years, and then groom the business in that 4 to 5 years for exit. And generally speaking, our strategy is either a sell back to the management team, which is our favoured exit, as we work with management teams and make them better and improve them, change the culture, just to allow those people to develop as individuals.
And that fits with our mission of transforming people's lives.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've talked in the past about a really great philosophy enshrined in a book called Rocket Fuel, Gino Wickman. Anyone watching this, go and read that book. It's what we follow as a principle, and it's how you change the culture in the business and allow the people in the business to grow that business. Mm-hmm. So it's not a top-down dictatorial approach. Anyway, so the point about that is that's our strategy. Other people will take a view that I want to acquire a business and actually I want to hold it for the long term for as long as I can foresee. And yeah, again, there's no right or wrong. There isn't a rule book.
No, and if you just think about this for a second. If you buy and hold a business for a long period and then you buy another one, then numbers of course double. Mm. And then if you buy another one, yeah, and another one, and so on.
Everybody watching this can multiply by ten. Of course they can. So yeah, if you said, right, I'm going to have a very clear strategy. I want to buy 3 specific companies in a sector that I'm an expert in, something that I know, and that might be a geographical reason. So you might say, right, I'm based in the Midlands. I want to buy one in London. I want to buy one in Scotland, and maybe one in the North. Mm. And then I've got 3 or 4 companies, all of which I'm an expert in. That could be IT. It could be services.
One of our members just done that, haven't they? Yeah. In the last, what, they bought 2 businesses in the last
6 months or so. So that's the thing. So once you've got that, if you have got a default of 100-120k a year, then there's 400,000-500,000 revenue coming into your holding company, and if you're the principal owner, that's all right. That's quite a nice living.
It's very nice, isn't it? And you
once before you worry about offshore or tax mitigation.
Yeah, when you make a mental shift in this, in terms of going from where you are right now, and I've had to do this I guess people have called me the mind shaper in the past,
just to cut in before I lose the thread as well, because the other important thing to stress, and we were talking about this on Monday in the brainstorm session, what's really important to stress is if you think about how long it takes to incrementally grow a business. Now, when I've done startups, always in the first year, 2 years, the curve is quite rapid. Mm-hmm. It's easy to go from nothing to 500,000 or whatever the figure is, and that's a...
Well,
okay, but my point is, whatever the figure is...
If you know the right strategy, I think we have to put a caveat on
that. But the early days, you'll always generate fairly decent growth rate.
Yeah.
So 100, 150, 200% growth rate. There always comes a point in any startup business where that starts to plateau.
Yeah.
And that's a whole bunch of reasons. Cash, capability, people, team, availability of customers, etc. There's a natural plateau that every startup reaches. Mm-hmm. And then sales growth is more in single digits.
Yeah.
Pretty much. It's sort of 5, 10%, something like that. There is nothing...
And businesses... There's also a good book called Gaping the Chasm, I think it's called, where it talks about you get to one area and businesses can't move that. Mm-hmm. And again, that process and all that sort of stuff. So it's fascinating.
And so there is nothing in comparison to that than buying another company.
Yeah.
Because you cannot, if your business is doing 1,500,000, doesn't matter what the figure is, 5 million, and you go and buy another company of a similar size, you've doubled your turnover. Yeah. You can't do that organically. You just cannot do it.
No.
So I think that's really, really important to stress. Whatever strategy you adopt, whatever your thought process is, whether you're thinking, do you know what, this could be a 3 or 4 year strategy. There's no rush. Mm. I'm going to take a deliberate step-by-step, plod my way through it. Or I just want to go all guns blazing. I'm going to go, buy 3 or 4 businesses in the next 36 months or, 24 months. Whatever you decide is right for you, the point is nothing compares with it. Nothing at all.
Yeah. Totally right. So we've got the get paid first, 30 to 50k into your bank account, as soon as the deal's done.
Or more, depending on
the size.
That's what we're seeing as an average.
Yeah. And then up to £10,000 a month in revenue coming into your holding company. And we talked about, our preferred exit. Have we got some examples, numbers of of what you could potentially have when you exit, or maybe multiples. So give me an example of multiples, or
so the thing to think about is tax strategy around this. So when you one of the nice things when you're negotiating with a vendor is that they can benefit from a lifetime limit of currently £10 million for what's called entrepreneur's relief. So when you sell shares in a business, you suffer a tax hit of capital gains tax. As an entrepreneur, you get this really nice 10% limit, which means if you sell a business for £1 million, you're only going to pay a tax bill of 100,000. Not that that's a small amount of money, but you know, could be worse. The standard CDT is currently about 20%. So it's well worth having that tax relief. So we start to think about, how do you hold the business? Do you hold it in your own name? What's your exit strategy, etc.? So all that comes into play. But in principle, most times the business owners that we buy from will benefit from that 10% tax relief.
Yeah.
And at £10 million in a lifetime, most people are never going to get to that limit anyway. They'll do a one-off sale.
Yeah.
And most of the businesses we're interested in turn over between £1 million and £20 million.
Yeah.
And the enterprise value is probably not going to breach the £10 million in most cases. There'll be a few exceptions, but generally that's the case. So from our perspective, what we're thinking about is what might the exit look like? Now, there are tax strategies that we teach to our members where you can pay no capital gains tax on exit. So that's quite exciting. So if you sell for £10 million, you keep £10 million.
That's very exciting when you come to sell the business.
So we teach you how to do that, teach you how to understand the tax strategies that are most appropriate for you, and also how to plan where you want to hold your business. There is the opportunity or the possibility of looking to hold businesses offshore, where more of the money that you generate from the sale can then be recycled into further investment.
Mm.
It's not about tax havens or any nonsense like that. It's actually about the best use of the money that you're generating. So it's understanding that and basically sort of setting out what the strategy is.
Mm.
And we always start, everything we do is about, well, what am I trying to achieve?
Yeah.
What's my purpose in this? Am I looking for financial freedom? What does that actually mean? What kind of lifestyle do I want?
We always say, don't we, you know, every single entrepreneur always talks about, I'm going to do this till I retire, then what are you going to do? And if you chunk up all the time, it's always about the same thing. You know, it's freedom to do what you want, when you want, with whom you want, without any constraints of money.
Yeah, I mean, I think we believe very firmly that every entrepreneur we've ever come across, and we've both been in various entrepreneurial organisations, training and networking and so on, and without exception, pretty much everybody gets into owning a business, running a business, because their perception is it's going to give them more freedom.
Yeah.
What ends up happening, Brad Sugar's coined it very well, is you end up working for a lunatic.
Yeah.
You worked for a boss before that you thought was bad, and now you work for a lunatic yourself. You
know, I like that.
Who would actually work for a boss and do, you know, 80 hours a week for no money?
So figures. Everybody watching this is saying, "Come on, guy, tell me how much can I make?"
Again, it varies on the size of the deal, but I think it's fair to say that you should be expecting to be making multiples of seven figures on exit, or we're doing something wrong, basically. So. It's all depending on the size of the business, and back to what I said, what's your purpose, what's the goal? So we do that exercise of the financial freedom formula.
Yeah.
We say, right, what is it that you need? So if you think about...
Because everybody's different, right?
Yeah, exactly. So if you think about a personal overhead, the goal is to have relentless cash coming into your bank account as a result of the sale.
Yeah.
So you've got your money that you make on completion, the money that you earn, if you like, as management fees on an ongoing basis until you exit. The exit should be about designing the lifestyle that you want.
Yeah.
And if you can change your lifestyle completely in a 4 or 5 year cycle, so you're done, you are financially free, then I think that's pretty attractive.
Rest of your time on the planet, you can do what you want, when you want, with whom you want.
Exactly.
I think that's incredibly powerful.
Mm.
You know. And
now, what other method? I don't believe that property investment, I don't believe stocks and shares, and other than winning the lottery,
I was just going to say that.
I don't know of any other method where you can deliberately plan a process that will achieve that outcome for you.
Yeah.
And I've been in business for 30 plus years now.
No, you're that old?
I know, it's hard to believe.
Okay, anything else on that, buddy, or shall we move on to the second part of the...
I think that probably nails it.
Yeah,
really. But if anyone watching has got questions around this, we always encourage feedback and
please,
you know, post comments.
Please,
or
if while we've been
touch.
Talking, something's come through your head, then then post it, you know, or send it through, email us through.
Yeah, send us an email or just give us a ring. So please do. All the numbers are on the website, for example.